Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
Hi folks, this is Leroy Parnell. You're listening to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer.
Sunny days and stormy days. Up to now, that's what my life has been. Broken hearts and brandy stars. But I'm thankful that I live to see it all. Whoa, and when I heard my name, I had...
You're like me and so many others, just said, you know, you honed your craft. You took the raw materials that God gave you. You had to know how to do a lot of different kind of things if you had a guitar on and you're trying to make a living down there. And before you have your own records out, and people go, oh, he's the guy that sang, you know, Love Without Mercy or On the Road or whatever it might be. You're just the band. And if you can't play country music really convincingly well, you probably won't get out of there in one piece. But the same thing's true of rock and roll. And then, of course, our thing was blues, you know, and that's what we wanted to play and did right in the middle of our country music. And that's how it all kind of started.
And you pulled it off?
Turned into its own kind of thing.
What period of time, when you're referencing Houston, when was that?
Houston was...
70s, 80s?
It was really from the... Well, I would have graduated from high school at 74, but 3 months before I graduated, I split. I had a gig.
Priorities?
Yeah. I never went anyway. You know, I'm not saying that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
Just do what I tell you to do. Don't do what I did.
And where'd you go to high school?
Stephenville, Texas.
Okay. Near biggest city?
Between Fort Worth and Abilene. I was raised on a 3,000-acre working ranch. I was my father's top hand out there, so it's not a show for me. It was like Guy Clark and I walked into a place one time. We were not feeling any pain. And you could tell this guy had just bought this hat. And because he didn't know how to wear it right. You know, some guys just wear their hat all wrong. And that's just the truth. And Guy knocked it off his head. He said, it's a damn tool. Take it off inside. Of course, he wore one inside. He could.
So, talk to me a moment about music and you in your life. I mean, you were in high school and you're already rocking and rolling. So,
well, this started long before
that. That's what I was going to allude to. Probably elementary school or even earlier.
Yeah, elementary school. Well, you know, probably you know the story about my first public performance. I was six and I sang with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys on the radio. I still have the recording.
Wow, did not know, man. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, my father and Bob were close friends from the time they were little fellas.
Mm-hmm.
So they were lifelong friends.
So he was in your house?
All the time.
Wow.
You know, when you're a kid, you figure that everybody's got a Bob Wills, Uncle Bob in his house, or Aunt Betty and Uncle Bob, and all those kids were just like our cousins, you know. So, and still are.
That's so cool.
Still are, all the time. Matter of fact, that hat right there, Bob gave me that hat right there. Wow. That black hat, Bob gave me that. But he gave me some other things, too, which I can't take back right now.
In the violinist in this group, he had another...
He had many others.
Yeah.
There was Jody, there was Joe Holly. there was, boy, the early days, Louis Turney, who all played saxophone. Where are you getting at? Are you looking for one particular?
My dad knew one of them.
Oh, he knew one. But do you remember what his name was?
That's what I'm trying to remember. I mean, he's an icon.
How old?
Pretty old. He'd be gone now.
Oh, Johnny Gimble?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, he was wonderful. As a matter of fact, I ran into, as you can see, I'm gathering all, not collecting, trying to decipher, you know, 66 years of being on this earth over there and looking at the formidable task of writing my memoirs. I had too many people telling me, Leroy, you're the only person I know that has lived at least 100 years and you're 65, you know. And it's kind of true because I've been involved in music since the time I was little. There was never a question what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I knew two ways of life, ranching and hanging out with Bob and the Texas Playboys and going to dances. And I did. I went to dances all the time when I was a little kid.
Wow.
I take Jack, my youngest son, I take him. I took all my kids to the dances. They slept in the guitar cases, for God's sake. Hell, I slept in one a time or two, you know. But no, man, it's because you start talking about those stories. They go, did you really know him? And I went, yeah. You know, it's just when you do what I do, you spend your whole life meeting your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're good at what you do, they respect you. So they become friends lots of times, if they're friendable, you know, right. That is. And so I don't think anything about it now, you know. Of course, the kids I grew up in high school with, which I'm all still close with them, I don't treat my high school friends any different than I treated Merle Haggard, you know, maybe a little. Oh, I just loved Merle so much. He was my touchstone. Now, I'll tell you, there was a reason for that, too, because Hag and Bob were very close, and he had loved him like his own. As a matter of fact, well, yeah, I shouldn't go into all that, but so it was almost a familial connection between Merle and I because Bob had grandfathered us both in. Matter of fact, I've got some great pictures of us.
Merle, would it be fair to say that part of his sound roots were the Bakersfield sound?
Absolutely, yeah. Because he was a child of the Kern River Valley.
And Buck Owens, yeah.
And there was, well, see, and here's the deal. Here's another little thing that when you start traveling around, that's like when I first started hanging out with the Haggard Boys. You know, I mean, that was a dream come true. The first show I ever did with Merle was in 91 in Conroe, Texas. In the spring, and for some reason, a blue northern through there, and it was cold as kraut that day, and the wind was blowing something awful. And we were outside the show, you cupping the mics, you know, trying to keep the wind from making the PA sound like it's about to blow up, you know. Anyway, just that little time right there, and we immediately talked about Bob, and he knew that I knew. And he knew that I did not know that he knew what he knew. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Write it out and see if it makes sense. I think it will. I don't know why. Anyhow, so we had the natural, we weren't fan star guy. That wasn't the basis of our relationship. Excuse me, let's pause this. Must have been wearing my PF flyers. And both those boys are huge.
Really?
My oldest son's 6'6", and,
wow.
And little Jack's going to have him beat by a long shot.
Really?
Uh-huh. And he's big, and Blake's tall and skinny and played basketball and went baseball scholarship. This one. Thought he wanted to be a football player until he got on that court because he's kind of a butterball in his mind. He is Thor, okay, and so that's what you see out there, and it's
that's cool.
Greatest thing you ever saw in your life. It's all even on the basketball court. Everybody's the same size on the basketball court, really. Because those little guys, they shoot good too, man. They shoot good. Anyway, sorry about that.
No.
Got off on my kids. My favorite subject.
Let's go. Back in time, you're out of high school. Did you were in a band at that time?
No. I mean, I had bands in high school to answer, yes, to answer your question. Yes and no. How about that?
So post high school, when did it gel? When did it come together for you?
I'll try to run this down best I can for you without taking a dog leg, because that's my downfall. I always get back, though. High school had bands that we had. There was university in the little hometown where I went to school, Tarleton University. It's the only college in the country you can get a degree in rodeo. It's a fact, because there's a lot to it. Not just the physical stuff, the finance, medical stuff. All, I mean, it's a big deal. But anyway, you can do that in Stephenville, Texas, I'll have you know. Got me a rodeo license. And that's from whence I came, okay? So you're wondering. I was the, I wanted to be at Woodstock. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where I wanted to be. You know, it had only happened a year before I left high school. And so, no, 2 years before. But man, that's what I wanted to go, where the music was. Mm-hmm. Wherever that was, that's where I wanted to go. Well, the closest place to go was Austin. And it was 3 hours from home. And my mom and dad were getting old, and I didn't want to leave the state anyway. I just wanted to go where the music was. And Austin at that time was Nirvana. I mean, Nirvana. It was a little college town with a university and a government town. There weren't a lot of high-paying jobs there, and it was beautiful. So the artists moved there and settled it. So we got a tribe in Austin of people that we all talk like and walk like and understand one another, you know. We're competing, but we're also helping one another, too, you know, grow up, you know.
Is that when you met Willie?
I met Willie smoking a joint outside of the Rome Inn one night, where we had both gone to see Stevie Ray play. There was about seven of us in the club. And Willie, and he came, he's just sitting there listening to Stevie play. You know, he was just out driving around, you know. Thought, I'll whip into the Rome Inn, because we played there lots of Mondays. Stevie and I would, he'd headline one week and I'd headline the next, but it was on Monday nights. Because we were coming in off the road, you know. And so we needed a place to play when we got home, because chances are we didn't make enough on the weekend to buy dinner on Monday. So so we were working every night we could. And anyway, that was a scene in Austin, and it was really great. But, you know, I was young, and I was frustrated that I wasn't getting the respect from how it is. And I had a full head of steam, my friend. I mean, I've always had a full head of steam. When I'm off, I'm off. But when I'm on, I'm on. And I was getting frustrated with the record industry, that part of things down in Austin. And I was writing songs that were getting cut in Nashville before I ever came up here.
Wow.
Because I was opening for everybody in Texas, so they would hear my songs. I was playing all original material, putting out my own records, you know, doing the do, you know.
Just that's crazy.
But I still wasn't in the industry high yet, which was a godsend. Are you taping me? Okay. Anyway, where was I at? I lost my thread. Where was I? But in the industry, right. Right.
You were noticed in Nashville.
What I didn't want to do is, first of all, I didn't think I had a place in country music. But that was my thinking in the 70s. Now, when you move to the 80s in Nashville, something different happened. I'm still, you know, I'm not here yet. Mm-hmm. But Rodney Crowell was here. And Guy Clark were here. All my my songwriting heroes were here. So Lyle Lovett and my cousin Robert Earl King got on the phone one night with me. They were in Nashville. Robert had rented a little house over in Park Avenue. He's my cousin. And they just said, Leroy, they got publishers up here. They'll pay you money. You can buy a house. You can get a loan. You know, they work off a system. They got a system up here. A Towns Van Zandt said, I'll miss the system here. Treble's light and the bass is clear. No, the treble's bright and the bass is clear. Anyway, why did I go off into that? But I started seeing Nashville from a viewpoint of, wow, there's a portal right there. And then I heard T. Graham Brown on the record, and he was playing the same stuff I was playing. Really, R&B that most country people think are country dance songs.
Oh, interesting.
So it made me very happy. So I could just play all my muscle shows and R&B. I mean, the stuff that makes me tick, you know. Mm-hmm. But we made the lyric was definitely being paid attention to. And that's why I was talking to her and her. That's who I was talking to, and that's who I've always talked to. You get to, if they're there, you'll be there. Yeah, I don't have to worry about you. Yeah. Besides, most of the girls like the lyrics and the singing, and the guys like the guitar. So that's the way it works. That's just the way it works.
How would you describe yourself? Are you a guitarist as much as a singer?
I guess. Well, you can just throw them up in the air and they all land at the same time.
What gives you comfort? Let's say you're working out the words of a music piece. Do you use the guitar to help your brain function?
You know what? I'll tell you a little secret.
Okay.
And it may seem like happy horse shit to you at the time, but it's not. It's the truth. I've gone through so many metamorphic changes in my artistry. There's our life, and then there's our artistry, but they're affected, both is affected by the other. So as you get older and maturity begins to come your way, and that can happen early, or for some of us it
maybe never
takes a two before right between the eyes about 17 times a year just to make sure that you got the message. You know, if you're trying to break old habits, that is, you know, or you're trying to change directions and go someplace, you need to go musically inside. When I'll put it to you like this. When you're an artist, you got to think about it like an onion that's growing. You know, I hit the road. I was a vagabond. I didn't have a home. I mean, I was in New York a lot. I was in L.A. I was in muscle shows, Macon, all these places I'd have to go. And I would just go and be a part of it. And though I would grow different layers to my onion when I would do that, you see. And then, of course, my onion started way back when I was 6 years old, probably way before that, because I think God just had it intended for me to do this. I really know that's true. And that brings me to today. I'll jump over a lot of things, but when I moved here, let me talk about the songwriting for a minute. When I moved here, my intention was to get a songwriting deal because I could write songs. You can make a living doing that, and I could be home with my children. Those were the things that I wanted to do.
Interesting.
Not bad. I did two of them. Not being home with the children, I pretty much failed on. I mean, I was always back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back. But the older kids didn't get me like Jack got me, you know, because I was beat up from the road. I couldn't go anymore. You know, I still go. But it just, you know, my heart won't let me stop. It'll never let me stop. I will never, ever retire, ever. Will never retire. And do what? What would I do? Play music? Okay. Fine. Great. So we're doing the same thing, but this is what this is what it feels like when you're retired. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Just hungry. That's all. Just hungrier. So anyway, we can't help it. You know, we just, it's like you can't help. You can't. You're a sucker for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm an artist too. And
you are an artist too. Yes, so, absolutely. This is your mark. The way
but
you
even,
do this.
I do. I build furniture. I do all kinds of things.
Yes.
And to me, like somebody says, you know, like, are you retired yet? I go, when I die.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just the old World War II. The reason that exists even at all is after World War II, they had to, the whole Social Security thing and getting people to retire. It, guess what? At 62, wasn't it? For
something
for
like
the
that,
longest
yeah.
time, that was like the master plan put out by some geek in Washington or something. But and the truth of the matter is, people who are an artist, they have a burning in their heart. They can't stop. They're just lucky that they sold a couple of paintings or songs or something to keep them starving to death, but that's not why they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about you here and now. Okay. And we need to only push the envelope because we got to go pretty soon.
I'm sure.
I'd love to spend an hour with you, man. It's been fascinating.
So call me anytime.
Yeah, I will. Talk to me about today, the here and now. We're in your living room. And if you get kind of that bug, would you first maybe start singing out loud? Or would you grab an acoustic guitar? Where would you go to connect?
90% of the time, it comes to me from, and I believe this is all my heart. I think it's just God. I'm a conduit. Mm-hmm. If I get my mind right, and that means it has to happen like, I can do it if it's loud around, but it's not much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes too much work to do that.
Yeah.
But if I'm just by myself in this house and I got chores to do, just like we all do, it's in the mundane moments of life that the float comes through and I go, ooh. Like sunny days. Ooh. That one, 30 minutes. One of the best songs I've ever written.
Broken hearts and brandy stars, but I'm thankful that I live to see it all. Oh, and when I heard my name, I answered the call. No matter how distant it was, I answered the call. Sunny days and stormy days. It's true now what the old folks used.
I guarantee you I don't have, it's not me doing it. I recognize what needs to pay paid attention to. In other words, I heard something this morning and I could kill myself. Not really, I don't mean that. I could whoop myself, I should say, for not writing it down. And for right now, I cannot remember it for save my life. And it's gonna eat my lunch today. Maybe I'll recover it by day's end. All I think about is that right now. That's what I'm doing today. Trying to recover a loss because I didn't put it down quick enough. So all young songwriters, do not wait. Don't wait 5 minutes, don't wait 1 minute. Just tell the person, put a finger up in the air and go, hold it right there.
Do you have a notepad that you carry around?
I have a phone that is chock full of those voice memo things. It's a godsend. But I always carried a little cassette recorder with me.
Oh,
we
cool.
All did. You know, we all had the same one. So lots of times, like I ran off of Waylon's one day from his house. I got home, he goes, hey, Hoss, I think you stole my tape recorder. I said, well, hey, Hoss, I think you stole mine.
That's funny.
Yeah. Tom Brumley, who played steel with me, he was a buckaroo. His father was Alfred E. Brumley.
Wow.
I'll Fly Away.
Yeah.
Ever pretty bad. About half the lyrics and the songs in a Baptist hymnal or Church Christ or any of our fine organized Christian faiths here.
Well, I was going to ask you a question earlier. When you were a little kid, did you go to Sunday school? Were you in choir?
Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, dad just would just keep on adding more church activities. You know, I don't know if it's to make up for what he did back when he was younger or whatever it was. But he said, look, I can't pay your penance for you, okay?
That's funny.
Yeah, we had an interesting relationship.
But it's a fascinating common denominator among musicians. Black and white.
Yes.
Really powerful.
It is. Yeah. And I will tell you, on the inside, mm-hmm. it didn't really move into the epsilon where I now stand.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not my doing, understand. Now, I prepared myself to have this happen to me, but it's still from him, okay? I went through a terrible, terrible breakup about a year and almost 2 years ago. And I'd already fought the battle between alcohol and me. And I just kept losing. You know, there were just so insidious, and I could keep it pretty good for about a month, maybe, you know, and then I'd start doing a little more now too. You know, it's just sooner or later you just gotta, it gets old. You know, it's no fun anymore. So I, you know, went through AA and still go to AA. Not all the time, but occasionally. But what happened was it gave me the same spiritual training, kind of spiritual training 2019 through, you know, whatever happened during this period of time, because it was so tough. I lost a whole bunch of weight, got down to 138 pounds. And I was just, because when we feel, we feel. And I was just out. But, so, and I'm not a guy who can write songs when he's depressed. Everything's got to be pretty even. Like I said, mundane. That's when it happens for me. Like, not too high, not too low. Just right down there. Because my mind will give me the music then. It just comes out. Anyway, when I laid that down and I asked God to take that away from me, he did it. So it wasn't my doing there either. But I knew where my big guns were. So where my, when I started rebuilding myself from the bottom up again, at, you know, 60, mid-60s, whatever it was, I just used the stuff that I knew that would never fail me. And that's the number one thing, my parents' teachings, all the things I did. Anyway, all that rightened right up. Took some time, but it all rightened right up. What I did with the music was I did the same thing. I turned that over to him. So now, it's just like any time it can come. And sometimes, full songs come at me. Soup to nuts.
Wow.
Full. I got nothing to do with that. I can't do that. I'm just telling you, just between us and this microphone, millions of people. It may not be that how you get to this place as an artist, but your artistry finally takes over. And that's when you become, you don't care what anybody else is doing. As a matter of fact, kind of don't want to know about it. Now when I pick up a guitar, it sounds like me. And now when I pick up a guitar, song starts trying to make its way out of me. So it's all one thing. Again, like when we were talking about, you know, I started writing songs because I needed songs. I started singing in front of the band when I was in high school, which I didn't want to be the singer. I wanted to be the guitar player. But all the lead singers were nuts. So I said, well, screw this. I'll just do it. And so that's how that happened. And that's how I became a band leader, too, by the way.
That's funny. You know what? This is a bummer, man, but we got to get to the airport.
I know you do.
But I would be so honored to come back and visit you for a part two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd love you to pick up an instrument.
Sure.
And do a little singing.
Oh, sure.
So.
Y'all better sit down. This thing can get loud. So. Hey folks, this is Leroy Parnell, and you can find all about me at leroyparnell.com. You're listening to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory, produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.
Sunny days and stormy days, up to now, that's what my life has been. Broken hearts and brandy stars, but I'm thankful that I live to see it all. Oh, and when I heard my name, I answered the call, no matter how distant it was. I answered the call. Sunny days and stormy days, true now, what the old folks used to say. Things will come and go, but if they're yours to hold, you may cry 'cause you think they've gone away. But they'll find you on some other sunny day. Through the black of night, stars will shine, little glimmers of hope to help you find your way. And the ebb and flow, that's just the way it goes. I'm just glad that I hung on like I did, and that the good Lord gave me another chance to live, another chance, so I could have a sunny day.
My face.
stop now.
I can't stop now.
Sunny days and stormy days. Up to now, that's what my life has been. And I've come to see, oh, it was meant to be. And I'm glad I lived long enough to know. Oh, and at the ready day, just make the flowers grow. And that's all right with me, 'cause it's gonna be sunny days and storms.